important new book that exposes the undeniable campaign to secularize America by the Obama administration. And now, here's the president of Eagle Forum, Phyllis Schlafly.
Dr. Mark Edmondson is a prize-winning scholar, author, and professor at the University of Virginia. He has a new book called Why Teach? He shares his perspectives on students, parents, fellow professors, and institutions. He calls on professors to be uncool, to grade hard, and to challenge students, even though they may face fallout for it from today's atmosphere of grade inflation and being nice to the students. He encourages parents to allow children to experience the hard knocks of everyday life. He emphasizes the necessary role of failure. Dr. Edmondson says, real reading is a higher form of conscientiousness. He claims good literature allows one to experience the joy of seeing the world through the eyes of people who are more sensitive, more articulate, shrewder, more alive than they themselves are. He says the magic of words unleashes the power of imagination. That is what students taught by the Common Core standards will miss because they have substituted so many informational texts instead of great literature. The author criticizes group projects and classes that rely on the exchange of student ideas. Students don't require the information that produces a worthwhile conversation. He also exhorts educators to stop these readings, which are really deconstructing literary works from the perspectives of gender, race, Marxism, Freudian, and other artificial constructs that venture from the author's intent and show no respect for the book on its own merit. The title of this book is Why Teach? In Defense of a Real Education by Dr. Mark Edmondson.
Would you like a complete record of Barack Obama's hostility toward Christianity? Every insult to our Creator God and every executive order that undermines religion is documented in the new book, No Higher Power, Obama's War on Religious Freedom, by Phyllis Schlafly and George Neumeier. Get your copy of No Higher Power where quality books are sold, or visit eagleforum.org. Thanks for listening, and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Coming from Blue Force Gear, the same thing they did with weapon slings. Blue Force Gear has revolutionized the Molly Load Carriage with the Helium Whisper attachment system. Pouches built with Helium Whisper technology are fully Molly compatible and are lighter, thinner, and more durable than current issue equivalents. Lighter gear enables you to move faster with less bulk, ensuring that you will survive to fight another day. Find ultralight gear with the revolutionary Helium Whisper attachment system at blueforcegear.com.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
Veteran-owned and operated, OpsGear is your one-stop destination for all of your tactical and training needs. At OpsGear, if they sell it, they have tested it, ensuring that whatever you choose, it is a proven product. Established in 2001, OpsGear ships worldwide and offers a wide range of products, training DVDs, and self-defense options at their new Salt Lake City location as well as online. Find them at OpsGear.com. You got the mission, we got the gear. OpsGear.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Recognizing that America's most valuable resource is in their care, PNW Arms has forever changed the face of weapons science. Relentlessly pursuing research and development, PNW Arms is driven by exactitude. They have applied their collaborative skills, advancing ballistic science to a degree unimagined, both in existing ammunition potential and in creations yet to come. To find out more, go to pnwarms.com. At PNW Arms, their mission is nothing less than to change the face of the shooting industry forever.
Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed. Shall not be infringed.
Shall not be infringed. From the nation's Second Amendment watchdog, anti-gunners, get ready for the pain. The misinformation is over because this is the blunt object. From Gun Owners of America, this is Lock and Load with Bill Frady. Bill Frady.
Going into the second hour on a Monday, this is Lock and Load, the number to get in. 1-800-313-9443. If you're walking around like I do every day, carrying a gun for self-defense, and you've taken the time to train with people like Tiger McKee or whoever we talk about, and you've got the holster and you've got the ammo and you carry the very different ways and means, the one thing, unless you are one of my guests, in most cases, if you have to use in 99 out of 100 cases, if you have to use your gun in self-defense, what comes next you're not prepared for. And this is what my guests specialize in. Joining me again from Texas / U.S. Law Shield, I know Edwin is there. Michelle, are you there?
No, Michelle's, I didn't know if she'd be calling in, but she's actually in Colorado today.
That's right. She told me she would be in Colorado. Okay, well, she's in a different time zone, too. She may be sitting back saying, I got to call in an hour right now.
She may be.
I doubt that. Michelle's pretty sharp.
Probably just enjoying that clean mountain air.
And I'm sure you've looked at it because it's right there in your backyard. Have you looked at the Burleson case, Texas case, the cop shooter who is not going to be indicted?
The police officers who shot the elderly gentleman in his garage?
No. The ones where they served the no-knock raid and the guy didn't know who they were and he shot one of them.
No, I actually haven't heard of that.
They were going in on a known. I think this guy's name was McGee. He was a known drug dealer, or he was in the drug business, or something like that. And they decided to serve a no-knock raid. And he shot and killed the first officer coming in because he thought he was in the middle of a home invasion.
Yes.
And the Burleson County has declined to indict him on that.
Well, obviously there are a lot of different issues regarding what your attitude, toward the police are, no-knock raids, self-defense, things like that. But the law... The reason that they chose not to indict him is because in order to secure a conviction for either assault on a public servant, capital murder, which is what it would be if you killed a public servant, or heck, even just resisting arrest, the first thing they have to prove, the very first thing out of the box, is that the defendant knew that it was a police officer and knew that the police officer was engaged in a lawful duty. So, yeah, I mean, in the absence of any evidence, which I can't believe that somebody, I can't believe that nobody would nobody's going to say, oh, yeah, I knew they were cops, so I just started blasting. So in the absence of evidence that this individual knew that the person on the other side of the door, bursting in the door, was a police officer, they can't meet that element, much less prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. And so now I noticed, I know that a lot of times when the police go in, they start yelling, police, we have a warrant, et cetera, so that they can make an argument that it was that the person knew that they were a police officer, but But apparently the facts in this case were to the point that even the district attorney, and believe me, district attorneys, they will never miss an opportunity to prosecute somebody for resisting arrest, assault on a public servant, capital murder on a public servant. I mean, that's, you know, they view the police as their comrades. Obviously, the police are intricate in the prosecution of a majority of the criminal cases out there. And so the fact that the DA looked at this and couldn't make it means that there was not even a scintilla of evidence out there showing that they could prove that element. And so it kind of points up something. I mean, if you go on YouTube, you can watch all kinds of police raids. And I know there's one that I saw that didn't take place in Texas, but it was just horrific. About how the police went into a guy's home on a drug warrant, wound up shooting his two dogs, which were pinned up in the kitchen and posing no threat to anyone. And the most they came away with was about a half of a roach in an ashtray, and that was it. And they ruined these people's lives, killed their dogs in cold blood over half of a joint in an ashtray. It's just outrageous. So I hope this brings to light the dangers both to the homeowners and to the police with these quote-unquote no-knock raids. And the thing about it is that they are 100% always about drugs. You know, nobody's ever doing a no-knock raid to storm somebody's house to try to find a murder weapon. They are almost always about drugs. And so, you know, perhaps, you know, we should start to examine some of these militaristic type raids over, you know, serving drug warrants, you know, and perhaps, you know, the entire war on drugs entirely. And one of the weird things is almost always the marijuana. You know, and as we've seen, you know, we've got two states that have legalized it. I think about 10 others that have medicinally legalized it. So it's going to be kind of interesting to see how this all plays out. But it's going to be very unfortunate for people who are caught in the crossfire until it works its way out. It's sort of like being the last soldier killed on November 11th, 1918.
One thing about the no-knock raid, and I'm glad you pointed it out. The no-knock raid, I've seen them executed on somebody that wasn't keeping her grass cut to the length in accordance with her local municipality. I've seen video of that from the bottom of the door. That for some reason the camera was on the bottom of the door sill, but that's where the camera was. And boom, in they come, and they're coming in, and it's during daylight, and it's about the grass. A no-knock raid to me, it's. The double side of the sword which cuts is a very dangerous side, because one thing, it's dangerous for the police to do them, apparently. Now I think in Indiana they passed a law where you can actually have self-defense against a police officer if he's doing the wrong thing, and it puts the homeowner, how many of those things are executed and they get it wrong where they're going to the wrong place?
Certainly more than I believe would be acceptable.
And if they do that, and they're in the wrong place, and the homeowner pops up and shoots one of them, and then nine of them shoot him, and then they're looking around, and somebody's going, "Sarge, what'd you say the street address was?" What is the recourse of the remainder of his family?
Well, that they have to go through a very complicated civil process. That's called the 1983 claim, and the reason it's called that is that's the section of the U.S. Code that covers this sort of thing, and that is basically the person has to prove that their rights were oppressed in violation of law, that they had suffered a civil rights violation, and as a consequence, suffered damages. The thing about it is that the difficult element to prove is that the conduct of the police has to be so egregious that a reasonable police officer would have known or should have known that what they were doing was illegal and a violation of the person's civil rights. And so a lot of times that can be much, much more difficult to prove than you or I would think. The thing about the no-knock raids,
let's finish that up on the other side of the break, Edwin, if we can, because This is something that's very prevalent, and I want to ask you about whether or not you guys have ever had to deal with one of them. If you're not a member of Texas Law Shield and you're living in Florida, Pennsylvania, Colorado, Oklahoma, or Texas, I don't understand you, because if they were in my state, I'd be a member right now. If you're carrying a gun, you need to be a member. They are the best and the only ones that do what they do, bar none. We'll be right back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.
Do you own a gun? The attorneys and members of Texas Law Shield see every day how law-abiding citizens can become the victims of an anti-gun culture and a legal system that is designed to produce convictions rather than seek justice. Texas Law Shield is a firearm legal defense program dedicated to protecting legal gun owners. We offer comprehensive criminal and civil coverage with our 24/7 emergency hotline. Texas Law Shield completes your armed self-defense plan. To become a member, visit TexasLawShield.com.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
Ceramic body armor is rated to stop 6 hits. But what about the 7th? Unlike ceramic or Kevlar, Infidel body armor is proven to take hit after hit, and it just won't quit. Reasonably priced and designed for the smart civilian prepper, Infidel stops hundreds of hits from small arms to high-powered rifles. That means safety and peace of mind. Buy yours at InfidelBodyArmor.com. Spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L BodyArmor.com. Infidel body armor just won't quit.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
Now, more pounding from the blunt object.
And welcome back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. Talking about you, the law, and what you can do with it. If you're in a self-defense situation. Joining me again from Texas/U.S. Law Shield is Edwin Walker. Edwin, the no-knock raid, we were talking about that before, that's become part and parcel of, I mean, it used to be if you were a drug guy, they would send, you know, a car out to your place and serve your warrant and pick you up and take you away.
Yes.
Now they got to tool up and get in the MRAP and ride out there with everybody wearing their SWAT stuff. And And like you said, that kind of tacking up, I can see that for an armed desperado who you know is in there, and as soon as you're coming through the door, he's going to be shooting at you. I get that part of it.
Yeah, you know, if somebody, you know, had a whole, you know, house full of kidnapped children or something, and they had already said, you know, I'm never, you're not taking me alive, copper, that sort of thing. But the thing about it is that this is sort of a microcosm of a lot of issues in the law, is that the Supreme Court has said that the first element of serving a search warrant is that you have to knock it out. You know, this is the police, open up, we have a warrant, that sort of thing. They said that is the rule. But then, like most rules, and it's particularly trouble whenever these impact your basic, you know, civil rights, is that this broad rule then got this exception. The devil comes whenever with the exceptions, because the threshold of proving the exception gets lower and lower and lower. So the Supreme Court said, look, it's the rule that the police, when serving a warrant, are supposed to knock and announce, give time for the homeowner to answer the door. Well, then they said, 20 seconds is long enough, because there was a Supreme Court case that went all the way up. The police waited, you know, 20 seconds before beating the door in. The homeowner complained, hey, look, I was on my way to open the door, and Supreme Court said, no, 20 seconds is long enough. So then they came up with this no-knock and announce, where you can just bust in the door. And the Supreme Court, again, said, well, the rule is you got to knock and announce. But if the police can show that there was a belief that the person would be armed and dangerous when they entered and posed a physical threat to the police officers, then they don't have to give themselves away by announcing. Or if they believe that there's the possibility that evidence of the crime will be destroyed, or evidence of the subject of the search warrant will be destroyed, then they don't have to knock and announce. And so that really lowered the threshold, because a lot of these magistrates, they don't hold the police. They're the ones in charge of issuing the warrants, for those of you who don't know. All warrants have to be issued by a lawful magistrate. In which a lot of these magistrates, they don't really highly scrutinize these warrants. And so if the police go to them and say, yeah, we'd like the authorization to forego the announcing because we believe it's a meth house, and of course meth, you can flush it down the toilet really easy, and we have knowledge from a credible confidential informant that they have two assault weapons. And I'm using my air quotes when I say assault weapons. They have two assault weapons, so we need to dispense with that requirement. And the magistrate will say, yeah, sure, okay. Because the magistrates, they don't, like I said, nobody, they don't really go out of their way to question what the police officers put in their affidavit. And so even though it's the rule that you're supposed to knock and announce, the Supreme Court has made it very, very, very easy for the police to get around that.
Well, I mean, let's look at another thing they do, and I see a lot of these guys talking about adopting this. The high-speed chase. There's a lot of municipalities that are very serious. If they haven't already done it, they're not going to do the high-speed chase. They got the radio. They don't need to have 15 police cars chasing this one guy, because it is dangerous. Because on the roads where they're driving around, there's motorists just thinking, I can't wait to get your Chick-fil-A and rub off my lotto tickets. That's what their mindset is. They're not sitting around there saying, well, somebody's going to come by me driving faster than they would in Le Mans.
Yeah.
So they've decided to back away from that because of the danger that is inherent to the public when they're pursuing one of these guys.
Yeah,
now,
oh, absolutely.
How is this not the same thing? And that's a rhetorical question. I know you don't know the legislative answer, but go ahead.
The high speed chase stuff is very practical, and the thing about it is that with the police raid, you know, yes, there is there's the chance that they'll go to the wrong address. There's a chance that the third party will be injured, but with a high speed chase, there is a great chance, more often than not, that a innocent third party will be injured or killed. And so there's a lot more civil liability arising from the car chase. And the thing about it is that with technology, you can't be Bo and Luke Duke anymore. I mean, they're going to have your picture, your car. They're probably going to have helicopters. So the chance, if they back off, the chance of somebody actually getting away with it for good is very, very unlikely. And so that is the no high speed chase is a very, very practical solution, especially when there's so many alternatives available to catching the people. And legislatures have changed the law. Several years ago, Texas made it a felony to evade police by using a motor vehicle. It previously was a misdemeanor, so now, if you run from a ticket, you've just made your, even if they don't chase you down, they're going to catch you eventually, and you're going to be charged with a felony. So is it worth getting a felony because you think you might have a Class C warrant out there?
Well, but here's the thing. The high-speed chase is dangerous to the police, and it's dangerous to the public. And it's dangerous to the suspect, right?
Oh, absolutely. Now,
the no-knock raid the other day, we had a police officer shoot another police officer and didn't even know he'd done it, and he killed him.
Wow.
He was, like, looking around going, who got shot and how? And, we both know that there's been instances where they've gotten the warrant wrong, and they've gone on the wrong place. And, when you kick somebody's door in, if you're a law-abiding citizen, what do you think's happening? The first thing coming in your mind is not, oh, that could be the police that have mistakenly thought that I'm a meth house. In fact, that's in the next block. You're not thinking that. You're thinking home invasion. And you tool up, and then you get shot by seven guys.
Exactly.
So, I mean, the danger is there to themselves, to the perpetrator, and to the innocent, to me, the same way that the high-speed chase is. I mean, you don't see those every day. You don't see no-knock warrants every day. And I think they should be done away with. But, that, like I said, that's all rhetorical.
Right.
Anyway.
But the thing about it is that these are very important issues. But a lot of times the media doesn't want to address it. I can't tell you the last time I heard police raids discussed in the mainstream media.
They're the only ones, Edwin. That's why they're the only ones that should have guns.
Exactly. There's that whole mentality.
Yeah.
It's part of the militarization of the police force. Everybody wants to support the military. Nobody wants to see them. And everybody wants to support the police. They're lauded, I guess, for their quote unquote public service. They always say, well, they take their lives in their hands every day. And I'm not going to debate anybody's choice of profession with them. They can do what they want. But
Hang on for me. We're going into the break. We'll be right back.
I'm Larry Pratt of Gun Owners of America, and I want to invite you to join the Second Amendment movement with Gun Owners of America, the only no-compromise gun lobby in Washington. Take action by becoming a GOA member today by going to gunowners.org. Gun Owners members receive the GOA newsletter, fact sheets, alerts, certificates, and more. But there's more to joining GOA than just a list of member benefits. The United Voice of GOA members has been successful in defeating restrictive legislation designed to disarm our population. GOA has helped to get strong constitutional members of Congress like Senator Ted Cruz elected. And with your help, GOA will continue to successfully defend the rights of gun owners in the courts. Participate in our efforts to restore and preserve the nation's right to keep and bear arms. All contributions to our lobbying efforts are used exclusively to support or oppose firearms legislation. Join online at gunowners.org.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
J.
Keenly aware of the similarity between tactical and competitive training, the Shooter Source fuses the two worlds together. Their product line is based on speed of movement, and the Shooter Source caters to both the three-gun competitor and the tactical operator. The Shooter Source specializes in the cutting-edge tools for any shooter of any discipline. See them on the range or online. Find out how at theshootersource.com. The Shooter Source, one philosophy encompassing all.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steinblatt and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steinblatt is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
At Griffin Industries, the concept of good is never good enough. Combining extreme fit, function, and appearance, the Griffin Industries weapons and ammo carrying systems have taken the industry standard and turned it upside down. With an organic manufacturing process, Griffin Industries ensures tolerance and quality control with no equal. Flat rate shipping and rapid turnaround gets this superlative product in your hands and on your belt in no time. Visit GriffinIndustries.com. Griffin Industries, the 21st century solution.
A suppressed medical breakthrough guarantees anyone total health power with a simple device. That sounds impossible, doesn't it? In fact, it sounds like snake oil. How is it that something so simple could make such a profound change and isn't headline-making news? What if I told you it was? What if I told you in March of 1991 the news was groundbreaking? If you're like most people, you're wondering if this is true. We'll show you why your doctor hasn't told you about this. Go to drbeckprotocol.com or call 928-853-2821.
War Sport introduces the LVOA AR. This highly anticipated rifle is the embodiment of the low visibility operation concept. Made and designed in the USA, the LVOA combines mil-spec and specially designed features, bringing a flat shooting, extremely durable AR from concept to reality. To find out more, go to LVOA.us. War Sport, making function and reliability on an extreme level. This is only the beginning.
Hey, gun grabbers, do you feel the pain?
And welcome back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. I've done a little checking. Somebody told me about a copycat company out there, and I can't see anything on their website that indicates how they're going to do what they profess to do. But I'm joined again by Edwin Walker from Texas Law Shield, U.S. Law Shield, where if you are a member in one of the states in which they operate and you are involved in a self-defense shooting or a presentation of a firearm or whatever, if you call them at about the same time you call the police, you have the attorney-client privilege established and your legal defense is already in motion. Edwin, an interesting thing that's happening in Texas right now, you got Wendy Davis that wants to be the governor of Texas, and her campaign is sort of imploding on itself. And she stepped up the other day and said, I guess to try to pander some votes out of it somehow or other, that she supports open carry.
Yes. Well, it has to be the, the national media actually addressed this somewhat. She's got to be pretty much, I guess, the only Democratic governor candidate across the nation that supports open carry. However, this is Texas, and believe it or not, we are out of the norm. Here in Texas, it is against the law to carry a handgun, period. unless you are a CHL holder. And then if you are a CHL holder, you can only carry it concealed. It cannot be unconcealed in any way. And so there's a lot of states. There's only half a dozen states that restrict the carrying of handguns in this fashion. Many states that issue CHLs issue them as weapons carry license or firearms carry license, and they don't concern themselves with how the weapon is carried, only that the person carrying it has a license. And there's other states that have constitutional open carry that basically the same way Texans are allowed to carry rifles openly or concealed, other people in other states are allowed to carry their handguns open or concealed. And I don't know why Texas went this way. You know, like I said, one of my interests is history and legislative history, but I never have found a really good answer. And this has been the law of Texas for over 100 years. So going back to the 1800s, Texas has restricted the carrying of handguns openly, either openly or concealed, only in very limited circumstances.
I've got a question about the open carry part, but let's take a call real quick. Jerry in Chicago says he has a question for you. Yes, sir.
All righty.
Good morning. Good morning, Bill and Edwin. This isn't a question. This is just a little story I picked up a year and a half ago. We went to a little high school picnic from guys we haven't seen for 30 years, and we all got together, had a few beers, told some stories. One of the guys happened to be a Berwyn cop, and he got in with the ATF&E. And they did a raid, and he was talking about this raid that they did. They went to the wrong address. They went in there, traumatized everybody in the house, and they busted the guy. Well, the guy happened to have a small little bag of marijuana, you know, but he wasn't the target. Well, after ruining his life and everything else like that, the guy lost his job, everything. He was talking, he says, hey, that was one of the guys we used to play football with at the park when we were kids, you know? And he goes, I felt a little bit bad. Well, I made the comment, I said, wait a minute, you kicked down the wrong door, okay? Wearing a badge, wearing all your SWAT team gear with 8-10 guys with fully automatic weapons, ruined a guy's life. I said, and you feel a little bit bad? My God, you ought to lose your job. I says, and how did you go from a Berwyn cop to ATF&E? Now, this guy, when he was back in high school, had a part-time job working at a senior citizen's home. And he worked in the medication department where he would bring the medication to the patients and everything else like that. And he was selling drugs during high school. So the apple don't fall too far from the tree, if you know what I mean. That's all I wanted to say.
That's a great story. And you know, a lot of people... I have to say that story doesn't surprise me at all. The thing is that the police forces, you know, and I don't want to turn this into a whole, you know, hour of seemingly to disparage the police, because they are, you know, they are a necessity in a civilized society, because unfortunately there are people who will act in an uncivilized manner and have to be brought under control. The thing about it is that there are so many police departments that if somebody wants to be a police officer, regardless of their motives, maybe they want to be a police officer because they like pushing people around. Maybe they want to be a police officer because they can get revenge on society that has treated them so badly over the years. Maybe they want to be a police officer just because they, you know, like I said, they like having the authority or like wearing the uniform or whatever their motivation is. If it's a bad motivation, you can find a job as a police officer, because there are, just speaking for the state of Texas, there are over 2,600 certified police agencies here in the state of Texas just on the state level. So that's a lot of departments. Now, for example, you know, just to show you a contrast, there's 254 counties in the state of Texas. So it's okay, you know, every one of those counties should have a sheriff's department, that's fine. There's, I believe, a little over 1,200 municipalities in the state of Texas. All right, so every municipality can still have a police force. Well, that still leaves about 1,400 police agencies out there that are, you know, that are neither a city police or a county sheriff's office. So you know, if you can, if you're a person who's motivated by, hey, I'm gonna, you know, I'm gonna be the baddest ass guy on the planet, and I'm gonna go out and I'm gonna rough up every old lady that I see jaywalking. You can find a job as a policeman pretty much here in the state of Texas.
Well, can I add something?
Go ahead.
Sure, real quick. I had a brother. He was a cop in the local town where I lived for 10 years, between 74 and 84. Now, he was always running a minute or two late for work, and he didn't work that far away. But by the time he got to the end of the block here, which is a 20-mile-an-hour speed limit, he was hitting the tune of about 60 to 70 miles an hour at 6:30 in the morning. Okay? And because he had a badge, you know, well, nobody's going to give him a ticket, not in the town that he serves in. I mean, it's a get-out-of-jail card. You just simply flash it. In fact, we had an incident here. I'm sorry?
Yeah, we're listening.
I thought somebody started to talk. Hey, we had an incident here about 4 years ago where a Chicago cop was in a suburb out here south of me, about 15 miles. Got drunk as a skunk. Got thrown out of the bar because he had drank too much. He went to another bar. They wouldn't serve him because they said, hey, you're pretty lit now, and, you know, maybe you ought to just call a cab and go home. He walked out of that bar yelling, screaming, swearing, everything else like that, got in his car, got to an intersection at 159th and Harlem here, the major intersection, at right around 1:45 in the morning, and killed two kids that were coming home from working a late-night shift at, like, a Mickey D's or a Wendy's or something like that. 17 and 18 years old, and he kept flashing his badge to the cops and saying, hey, you got to let me go. I'm a brother and everything else like that. Here's a murder scene, and he's still, granted, he was under the influence, but he's still making it sound like I have the right to be let go. I mean, this is what they think of when they get their little perks and everything else like that. This is how they operate. And if you know enough cops, when you're pulled over and getting a ticket, all you got to do is start mentioning their names, and all of a sudden, next thing you know, is the cop stops writing the ticket and says, listen, just be careful, have a nice day, and let you go. I mean, it's like you got a little in, and here's the other thing, too, is they all have that little metallic badge next to their license plate on the deck lid of their car that says, Fraternal Order of Police, and they never get pulled over.
Well,
We're about to run out of time in the segment. All I would say, Jerry, is I'd start going to Rombo's. Every time Rahm Emanuel has a meeting, I'd go in there and raise just all Sam about that. If it's Chicago PD or Gary McCarthy, go have a chat with him. Now, don't do it when he's drunk because he might mistake you for a street light.
Makes sense, Bill. Thanks for letting me talk, and you guys have a great, blessed day.
Very good. Thank you, sir. We're about to go to the last break on the hour. When we get back, I want to take a page out of the Gun Grabber's book, Edwin, and just ask you a question about open carry in Texas. And see what your thoughts are on this, because you examine a whole lot of different areas of the law just in the day-to-day with what you do. You can go to Texas. You can search Texas or U.S. Law Shield online, and if you're in Oklahoma, Florida, Pennsylvania, Colorado, or Texas, you could be a member, and I will envy you. We'll be right back on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.
So sick, see the things my mind, it just can't believe it's so wasting away, why is life so bitter sweet?
Whew. Nice shoot. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yeah, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
This is Dr. Robert Rowan here to give you an important message regarding stem cell treatment. World-renowned physician, stem cell expert, and friend Dr. David Steinblatt has performed over 8,000 stem cell treatments since 2001. Bone marrow stem cells are completely legal to do here in the USA. The bone marrow stem cell treatment is not only fast, done in less than 2 to 3 hours, but is relatively pain-free and has little to no recovery time. Dr. David Steenblok and his office are able to help and treat patients who suffer from cerebral palsy, traumatic brain injury, stroke, macular degeneration, arthritis, Parkinson's disease, congestive heart failure, and more. Personally using their services for my knee and seeing great improvement, Dr. David Steenblok is highly recommended by me. Go to stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 to find out more. Again, stemcellmd.org or call 800-300-1063 today to receive more information.
Salient Arms International. Salient Arms takes your weapons platform and refines the most important functioning features, enhancing your weapons reliability. An SAI enhanced platform is the epitome of excellence and will dominate competition, self-defense, or combat. Visually striking and engineered to its fullest potential, discover the SAI commitment to excellence. To find out more, go to SalientArmsInternational.com. Salient Arms International. Innovation Q.
World-renowned physician and stem cell expert Dr. David Steenblok, D.O., and his research staff have spent years developing all-natural formulations that support the body's own stem cell production and mobilization system. An everyday stem cell supplement, creating the birth of Stemgevity. Stemgevity stem cell mobilization formula is for use by men, women, and children of all ages to support your body's stem cell system naturally, quickly, and safely. Stemgevity helps support your heart and circulatory system, bones and joints, liver, skin, brain, and much more. Order your bottle now at Stemgevity.com today. That's Stemgevity, Stemgevity.com. Or call now toll-free, 800-300-1063. Buy two bottles and receive a third bottle free by mentioning RBN. Anyone who wants to get healthy needs Stemgevity. Call 800-300-1063 today.
The government's Department of Homeland Security is buying up loads of ammo. At the same time, they're restricting civilians' rights to own and purchase firearms. Can you put two and two together? Infidel Body Armor can stop every round, including hollow points and 308 sniper rounds, is reasonably priced and fully legal. But for how long? Go to InfidelBodyArmor.com, spelled I-N-F-I-D-E-L, BodyArmor.com. Infidel Body Armor. Just won't quit.
Developed and made by U.S. Army Special Forces soldiers, Spartan Blades are the professional-grade combat utility knife. The preferred knives of those who go into harm's way, Spartan Blades endeavors to create knives that will last a lifetime and beyond. To find out more, go to SpartanBladesUSA.com. Whether you are a law enforcement professional, outdoorsman, or just appreciate craftsmanship and a cutting tool, Spartan Blades endeavors to make knives that will get the task done. Spartan Blades, knives with intent.
Bill Frady, Bald and Dangerous.
And welcome back as we get ready to flip into the next hour. On a Monday, this is Lock and Load. The number to get in, 1-800-313-9443. My guest this hour from Texas Law Shield, U.S. Law Shield, is Edwin Walker. Edwin, I'm being asked in the chat room, what do you think the chances of Texas getting open carry of handguns?
Well, I think they're pretty good. I mean, you know, obviously before the break we were talking about Wendy Davis coming out and supporting it. And that's, you know, that's a pretty good sign. Hopefully the legislators will embrace it. Now, that also points up an issue that the rest of the country may not know about. Here in Texas, it is very, obviously we're very, very pro-Second Amendment, pro the lawful possession and carrying of firearms. And there's been a lot of our pro-firearms laws have come with the support of the Democratic legislators. Of course, Texas on a statewide is dominated by Republicans, but there still are Democratic members of the House and Senate out there. And by and large, a lot of them are supporters of expansion of firearms rights.
That's because they're Texas Democrats, though. That's a special breed.
That's correct, because they're Texas Democrats. So, and I think we've seen that with Wendy Davis. you know, she's got to try to eliminate these what we call wedge issues. You know, people who are single-minded voters, and you know, not that there's anything wrong with that, but if she can try to neutralize that avenue that Attorney General Abbott has over her, then I see that she will, because, you know, obviously it's just a campaign promise. And believe me, you know, we live in a country where campaign promises are made and broken on a daily basis. So, you know, it is what it is. I don't know that it would be very hard for her, I think, to convince a lot of Texas gun owners that, you know, that she really does speak in favor of it. And the thing is no Democrat, you know, even the most anti-gun Democrat, they don't have anybody else to vote for. So,
right.
So yeah, she's not, you know, she may alienate them, but she's not going to alienate them to the point where they're going to vote against her.
Well, I think she's probably doing this to mitigate some of the stuff that's come out about her concerning her law school time and some other things she did. But I wanted to take a page out of the Gun Grabber's Handbook. Now, the open carry law, or the open carry statute, which as I understand it, is not really so much a law that says you can open carry. It just applies, people carry the guns they can carry in the open because they're not mentioned as prohibited. Is that right?
Well, that's the way the law is now, is that the Texas weapons law, the Texas forbidden from carrying law, specifically addresses handguns, illegal knives, which is not every knife, but only an illegal knife, and there's a definition of what constitutes an illegal knife, that prohibits handguns, illegal knives, and clubs. And the court interpretation over the years of club has been very, very interesting. Basically, as we know, you know, any blunt object can be a club, but the state would actually have to prove that in the manner in which it is carrying and or has been designed or adapted shows that its primary use is as a club. So if you have a bat in your car, they can't immediately say that's a club, but if you're carrying a bat at a gang fight, they would say it's a club. So the club law is very interesting. So we have those, and then we have another category of prohibited weapons, where the prohibited weapons are, you know, suppressors, short barrel rifles, machine guns, without NFA approval, brass knuckles, what else was there, explosive devices, things like that. Recently removed from the list of prohibited weapons was switchblades. So here in Texas, we can now own and possess switchblades legally, and we can actually carry switchblades as long as they don't otherwise meet the definition of an illegal knife.
That's interesting. The reason I was asking that, though, is it has to do with the way they keep catching these open carriers. Now, without speaking to any specific case, it seems like a lot of these guys that get arrested because they're being told they're carrying the gun in a suggestive, threatening manner.
Correct. It's one.
Is that actually codified? Is there actually a phrase like that in the law or what?
Yes. In the Texas Disorderly Conduct Statute, which I've never been a fan of because it's too vague, in my opinion, even though it's been upheld as not being vague, it's too vague, but basically it prohibits 11 types of conduct. Three of those types of conduct involve firearms, and the one that they continuously harass, if you will, open carry folks with, is the codified provision that says that it is illegal to display a deadly weapon, including a firearm, so it applies to any deadly weapon. If you display a deadly weapon, including a firearm, in a public place in a manner calculated to alarm, then that is a criminal offense. And so some police and some district attorneys are taking the position that if you carry a rifle, if you know that you're going to shock people, if you're carrying it in a place where people don't expect to see a rifle, then therefore we can say that you have manifested the intent to carry it in an alarming manner. That, of course, I believe is contrary to the purpose of the statute, which is meant to be a bridge, if you will, between dangerous conduct and conduct that actually involves a threat to another human.
That's what I was going to ask. Now, to me, carrying a rifle in a dangerous manner, means having it up at your shoulder and sweeping somebody with the muzzle. With
correct.
Your hand, with your trigger hand near the trigger. Now, that's dangerous. I can see where somebody would say he was carrying it in a dangerous manner. Slung on your back is not. Let's go to the phones real quick before we run out of time. John in Austin, yes, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. Good morning.
We got about 3 minutes.
Okay, real good. What are we going to do about the illegal aliens and them getting permits for open carry?
Well, the illegal alien could not meet the qualifications to get, number one, they can't meet the qualifications to purchase a gun from a dealer. And if they can't meet the qualifications for purchasing a gun, that means that they are prohibited from ever getting a CHL. Because the first qualification for getting a Texas CHL is that you can lawfully buy a gun from a federal firearms licensed dealer. And it's illegal for, it is against federal law for an illegal alien to purchase a gun from an FFL and, in fact, to even possess a gun. So I don't think if an illegal was caught with a gun, I don't think they would have any justification at all. And that they could still be arrested and prosecuted under federal law and state law.
You know, because I see, you know, if you have an open carry, the guy's walking around open carry, are we going to stop?
Are you talking about permitless open carry?
Yeah. They just strap one on and play the odds that, you know, no one's going to come up and question them on their license or legality of them having it.
Yeah, and that is, that actually is a very good point, because if you do see somebody, you know, if the police officers do see somebody open carry, what is going to be the limit? Yes, it's a lawful activity. However, it's still going to be illegal for a felon to possess a firearm, and it presumably will be illegal for a non-licensed individual to be openly carrying a firearm. So, does that mean that every person who is out there walking around with a gun now opens themselves up to being stopped for the police, basically, let me check your paper sort of thing? And if you want to draw an analogy, it's sort of like, it is not lawful for the police officer to just randomly stop somebody who's driving to say, well, I was checking just to make sure he had a driver's license. You know, it's against the law to drive without one.
Yeah.
I was just doing my duty. So I think that analogy is pretty apt, that the police will not be able to just simply stop somebody and say, let me check your license, or, you know, they'll have to have something else that will invite police involvement before doing that. So,
John, thanks very much for the call. We're about to run out of time. You can find Texas U.S. Law Shield and tap into this vast store of knowledge about carrying a gun legally by going TexasLawShield.com, USLawShield.com. Edwin will do this again.
All righty.
Thank you, sir.
Been a pleasure.
Yes,
okay,
sir.
Bill. Sure
enough. All right, let's go into the last hour on a Monday. This is Lock and Load.